All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Yud Ches. We are picking up on Yud Zayin Amud Beis 17b, and we are picking up. I will tell you. Tani Rabbi Chiya. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So mostly, again, just show you. First of all, Shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam Yudit Ben Zev, Le'iloi Nishmas, Adam's grandfather Moshe David Ben Shalom, and in honor of Adam's grandmother Helen Nachman, his parents Eli and Judy Ben Nachman, for serving as incredible role models. Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May Kadosh Baruch Hu grant them Arichos Yamim Vishanim. We'll say with that, let's begin. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we had an incredible daf yesterday, both Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, and in Amud Beis, we begin to get into the interesting discussion regarding which types of blood are considered to be damnida versus non-damnida. So essentially, remember, in the world of Hilchos Nida, there are essentially two types of blood. Either you're damnida or you're not. Now, the not category will further define as we go on as well. So essentially, I'll say, in the Mishnah yesterday, so the Mishnah introduced to us different parts of a woman's anatomy. Again, obviously, based on Chazal's understanding of science, as it was known as that that time. So the Gemara discussed, again, what we call the cheder. The cheder is the uterus, the lul, the aliyah, some type of what Chazal considered to be like an upper chamber, the lul, which was a passageway from the aliyah into the prosdor, into what we call the vaginal canal. So essentially what the Mishnah was explaining was as follows. Blood that comes from the cheder, blood that comes from the uterus, that's damnida. Blood that, technically speaking, comes from the aliyah, that's not damnida. The tricky part, of course, becomes what happens if you find dam in the prosdor and you're not sure if it came from the cheder or if it came from the aliyah. So we were discussing yesterday that everything, Rabbi said, you have to understand something. The Gemara is talking about purely in hypothetical terms. Because lemaisa, again, a woman does a bedika and she goes ahead and she finds dam. So remember, again, there's absolutely no way to know exactly. So we're talking hypothetical, just in terms of creating categorizations. Well, so remember, again, this is always how Gemara works. What we do is we bring up hypothetical cases that in the world of Metzias can't really materialize, but what they do give to us are definitions. And once you have definitions, those definitions are very helpful in terms of defining other realities around us. So that's the sugya that we're now dealing with over here in terms of where we're finding them. So we saw yesterday's daf, different opinions. Are you finding it again closer from the prosdor, closer to the aliyah, closer to the cheder? So we'll say picking up on that. Tanya Bichia. Bichia says as follows: dam hanim to a prosdor. If a woman finds dam in the prosdor, remember again, the prosdor is the vaginal canal. Chayovin alav al bias mikdash. So we'll say. So remember again, this is another important point that we made at the beginning of the Masechta, but now is a good time to reinforce it and review it again. Which is, a woman becomes a nida as soon as the dam exits the cheder. As soon as the blood exits the uterus, even when it's in the vaginal canal, she is a nida. In other words, we often think that a woman only becomes a nida when the blood exits the body. But that, in fact, is not the case. That's why, again, halacha lemaisa, as soon as she has a hargasha, that internal sensation that blood has left the uterus, she is a nida. So the Mishnah is dealing over with a situation where a woman has dislodged uterine blood. Well, I shouldn't say that. She has blood in the vaginal canal, and she had walked into the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Chiya says, Chayav and Abiyas Mikdash. She's chayif entering into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of nidos. B'sarafan alav esat truma. And ultimately, again, if she were to touch truma, we would burn that truma as a result of having the truma having come in contact with a nida. So we'll say, Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, therefore, is going on record, which is a fascinating idea, going on record saying that if there's dam in the prosdor, what is Rabbi Chiya essentially saying? What's the status of dam in the prosdor? Damnida, right? It's dam from the cheder. By the way, we'll also see different words to refer to the uterus. Here the Mishnah is using cheder. Later on we'll discuss makar. But again, so Rabbi Chiya's shita is that when you find dam in the prosdor, when you find blood in the vaginal canal, that is damnida. That is uterine blood. And therefore, if you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, woman's chayif walking into the Beis HaMikdash, state of tumah. You touch truma, the truma's tumea. Rav Katina says no. Ein chayav and alav abiyas mikdash. You are not chayif entering into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah. And furthermore, again, if she were to go ahead and touch truma, we would not burn the truma. Now, both say that Rav Katino would agree that halacha l'maisa, if a woman knows that there's dam in the prizdar, she should not enter into the Beis HaMikdash regardless, nor should she touch truma. What Rav Katino is just saying is if she did enter into the Beis HaMikdash and she did touch truma, there would not be a chiyuv. So we'll say, let's analyze. So we'll say, fundamental machlokas. L'hach lishna dam rabaye ibasar chashasha azla. So we'll say, according to what Abaye said yesterday, that ultimately, again, the discussion in the Mishnah is a discussion of chashashos. Remember again, Abaye was the one who made the distinction between blood that's found min halul v'lachutz and min halul v'lifnim. So the Gemara says, Mesele Rav Katino upligid Rav Chiya. Abaye's position ultimately, again, would support Rav Katina and Argon Rabbi Chiyo. Lahach lishna da amrit ibasar chazaka azla. So this is just from yesterday's daf. According to the Lashon that goes and understands that this is a discussion regarding chazaka, mesayele the Rabbi Chiyo, it would support the view of Rabbi Chiyo, top of Yurchas, upliga de Rav Katina, and would argue ultimately again on Rav Katina. To which the Gemara says, the Rav Huna, lo pligi. We'll say, according to Rav Huna's understanding, again, remember, this is Rav Huna's understanding of the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, there's no machlokes. Kan min halul v'lifnim, kan min halul v'lachutz. So we'll say, it could very well be that ultimately, again, they are talking about two different things. Look at Rashi for just a moment. L'Rav Huna, the amar le librei min halul v'lifnim vadai, min halul v'lachutz. So remember again, Rav Huna in yesterday's daf was explaining to his son the fundamental distinction. If blood is found min halul v'lifnim, so remember again, the lul is that passageway to the aliyah. Remember again, in Chazal's understanding over here, so we'll say, so just so you, if you can imagine the picture, you have the pruzdar, which is the vaginal canal. So the pruzdar, as it goes up, heads into the cheder, heads into the uterus. There's like a detour over here that goes ahead and branches off into what's called the lul, which is the passageway, and that lul leads into the aliyah. So in Chazal's understanding, almost you have like two areas over here. You have the cheder of the uterus, and you have the aliyah. So Rav Huna was of the position. Rav Huna said as follows: that min halul v'lifnim vaday, min halul v'lachutz sveika. That ultimately, again, if it's from the lul v'lifnim, then ultimately vaday min halul v'lachutz. So what's the current Rav Huna? Lo pligi. There's no contradiction over here. Kan min halul v'lifnim. Here is talking about a case ultimately where the blood is found from the lul to the inside. Kan min halul v'lachutz. So that's the same distinction that Rav Huna made in yesterday's daf. El Rai Bar Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Yehuda Darmi min halul v'lachutz sveika tar. It was according to Rami Bar Shmuel and Rabbi Yitzchak Breid Rabbi Yehuda, who said that blood that is found min halul v'lachutz sveiko is tahar, min halul v'lifnim sveiko tame. And if you find blood from the lul and towards the inside, it's sveiko tame. Hani b'may mitukma. How are you going to set up these cases? Min halul v'lifnim, if you want to say, is talking about a case of where the blood is found from the lul towards the inside, lema pligi d'Rav Chiya. Ultimately, again, Abba said, then this would argue on the shita of Rabbi Chiya, lo kasha. So the Gemara is not a contradiction. Another Abba said, now another interesting distinction. Kan shenimsa bekarka pruzdar, vekam shenimsa begag pruzdar. So Abba said, the Gemara now is suggesting another further distinction. Where is it being found in the pruzdar? Is it being found on what we call the karka of the pruzdar, which means the bottom of, the bottom of the vaginal canal? Or the gag at the top of the vaginal canal. What's the distinction here? Look at Rashi. Karka pruzdar. Hainu kiderech yitziasa min hacheder. So we'll say, so apparently, if the blood is coming from the uterus, it would be more common for the dam to be found on the ground, on the bottom of the pruzdar. V'udurami v'rav Yitzchak ta'amri safek tame begag pruzdar shekarov l'aliya. Versus, I will say, if you find the dam on the gag, on the top of the pruzdar, that's when there is the possibility that what? That it ultimately came from the aliya. Rashi says, Rav Yitzchak ta'amri safek tame begag pruzdar shekarov l'aliya uli olam basar chazaka. So therefore, the Gemara suggesting over here is that maybe the fundamental machlokis deals with where in the pruzdar you are finding the dam. So moving the dam a little bit away from the lul, moving it out of the discussion regarding the passageway between the aliyah and the pruzdar, we're now moving the machlokis into the pruzdar itself. If you find dam on the karka, on the bottom of the pruzdar, that is indicative that the dam came from the cheder, that it came ultimately from the uterus. If you find dam on the aliyah, on the upper, on the gag of the pruzdar, right, on the top of the pruzdar, then I will say again, remember, that's not indicative of anything. What does that do? That creates a suffix. There's the possibility that that dam ultimately came from where? That the dam came from the aliyah. So we'll say, so that would be the distinction. And again, that could be a possible resolution. If you want to say that Rabbi Chiya and Rav Katina are not arguing, that's how you would go ahead and frame their discussion. Rabbi Chiya, who says that if a woman finds dam on the pruzdar and she walks into the Beis HaMikdash, she is chayiv. And if she goes ahead and touches truma, you would burn it. That would be talking about what? Which case? Where the dam is found on the karka of the pruzdar. That everyone agrees, halacha lemaaseh, is bona fide dam nida. That came from the uterus. If according to Rav Katina, what's Rav Katina's case of where there's no definitive iser and you wouldn't burn truma? That's where what? You find it on the gag of the pruzdar. So Rav Katina is not saying that it's okay. Rav Katina is saying it's a suffix. So remember again, al suffix, you would not make her bring a carbon for walking into the Beis HaMikdash, and al suffix, you would not burn truma. Good. So we'll say that's the interpretation of the mach. Remember again, this is if you don't want to interpret Rabbi Chiya and Rav Katina as having a machlokas, this would be a way ultimately, again, to ultimately show that halacha is talking about two different cases. Good. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So what Rabbi Yochanan says as follows. B'shlosha makomos, this is actually a fascinating sugya. B'shlosha makomos, halchu bo chachamim achar harov. There are actually three different places where Chazal said that you follow the rov, v'asom kivadai, and we make a rov like a vadai. Make a rov like a vadai. So we'll say, so again, remember, this is an interesting, in general, what does rov mean? So we're going to see there are different ways of interpreting rov. Rov could mean that halacha lemaisa, there's a rov, but a miut still exists. Right, rov means a majority, but a miut still exists, and you have to be choshesh for the miut. That's one way of looking at rov. There's another way of looking at rov, which is what? Once you have the rov, what happens to the miut? The miut, as if it's not there. We'll say, so just by the way, we've actually seen this before. This fundamental machlokas in rov actually came up in chulin. Good, excellent, in chulin. Right, so we'll say, so remember again, a simple case. I have two kosher hot dogs, one non-kosher hot dog. Okay? And they get mixed in together. So what's the halacha, Rabosai? What's the halacha? Right? Batal barov. Batal barov. So we'll say, so now, good, okay. So what's the shayla? What's the shayla? So can I eat two hot dogs? Or can I eat all three hot dogs? So we'll say, so that depends on the fundamental nature of how you understand rov. Right? If halal, and this is machlokes Kesari Shonim, if you understand that rov ultimately means, bitul barov means that the miut no longer exists, then halacha l'maaseh, you could eat all three hot dogs. It's an incredible thing. Now, I see a lot of the hopeful looks over here. Let's say, obviously, you know, rove doesn't work if you intentionally work something, right? But lemaise again, or do we say no? Rove tells me that what I could do is I could eat hot dog number one because I could assume that it comes from the rove. I could even eat hot dog number two. Once I get to hot dog number three, I'm just going to have to leave it there. I can't eat a fundamental machlokas in how you view bitl and how you view rove. The novelty of the sugi in front of us, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, is there are three situations in halacha. We're going to see there's actually more than three. But for now, there are three cases in halacha where the chachamim took a rov and they said, this rov is not just a rov, but they made the rov into a vadai. Which also, so you're going to see something. We took a majority and we made the majority like a rov, that it's like a vadai. What are the three cases? For number one, mikar, shalya, chaticha. So we'll say, so the cases are mikar. Mikar literally means uterus. Shalya means like an afterbirth, the placenta that comes out. And chaticha. Chaticha means a limb. A limb. So what are the cases? Makar, hada amra. So we'll say makar is the case we just said. Look at Rashi. Hada amra. We'll say it's in the wide lines of Rashi, four lines down. Hada amra. B'mas nisin, shechezkasa la ba ela min hamakar. Okay, the Tani Rabbi Chiya. So what's the case of makar? The case of makar is the Mishnah as the, with Rabbi Chiya. What did Rabbi Chiya say? Dam hadnim tzaba pruzdar. We'll say, what is the status of blood that is found in the vaginal canal? What's the status? Halacha lemaisa, tam nida. Why? Because rov blood that is found in the pruzdar, that is found in the canal, ultimately comes from the uterus. So we'll say, so by the way, this is halacha lemaisa today as well. Meaning, if a woman finds dam, unless, of course, again, I'm not talking about kisamim, we'll discuss about kisamim. Let's say just a woman does a bedika on a random day. Not a good idea, halachically frowned upon, but a woman does a bedika on a random day and she finds blood on her bedika cloth. So we'll say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? She's a nida. Right? The only exception to this rule is, if she knows she has some kind of makkah, she knows she has some kind of injury, and it's a makkah hamotzi adam, and it's a type of injury that bleeds, then she could be what we call tola. She could literally hang the blood on something else, or she could attribute the blood to something else. But in the absence of a makkah hamotzi adam, in the absence of another bona fide attributable source, if a woman does a bedika and she finds dam, she is a nida. Why? Why? That's our Mishnah. Rabbi said, this is this sugya. This is what, and you can see, we accept Rabbi Chiya, halacha lemaisa, dam hanimsa b'pruzdar, because if she finds blood in the vaginal canal, which is where a woman is finding dam, if she does a bedika, the rov tells us that rov damin in the pruzdar is dam nida. Is dam nida. So you see again, Rabbi said, it's not just dam a rov, but it's a rov that's been made into a vadai. That's the case of makar. That's the case of makar. Next. So the Gemara says, next. Makar Damran, Shalya, what's the case of the Shalya? Shalya also means like a placenta, an afterbirth, this nan. Shalya babayis habayis tame. If a woman finds the Shalya, the afterbirth, the placenta in the home is tame. Now, both say, now what is this predicated on? So this, the assumption over here is, let's read it. Velosha Shalya Vlad. We'll say it's not the pshat that the placenta is a baby. Ella she'in shalya below vlad. But rather what it means is there is no afterbirth without having a fetus there. So what happened to the fetus? So we'll say we just assume that the fetus was there, the fetus just disintegrated or something else happened. But lamaisa, where there is a shalya, there is a leida. And therefore where there is, so we'll say therefore again, if that shalya is in the home ultimately again will be tame meis. Look at Rashi. Habayis tame. Afim ein vlad nira. Even if there's no discernible fetus over here, nevertheless, habayis tame mishum oel meis. So we'll say, so this is incredible halacha. So the rov tells us that rov times that there is a shalya, there is a fetus in there, and therefore again, that home will contract tumas meis. Rashi says, she'in shalya below vlad, v'sarfan alav esatruma, Ama kivan derov shalyos einon below vlad nechaskina le betuma vadois. So what says, you have to understand, there's a rove here. The rove says that rove, is it possible that sometimes you'll have a placenta without a baby? It's possible. There's a miut like that. Again, we'll see that in just a moment. But lemaisa, again, lemaisa, the rove is that where there's a shalya, there's a fetus. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, we will assume that rove creates a chazaka, right? We look at that rove as a vadai, not even a chazaka. We look at that rove as a vadai, and therefore Allah Chalamai said there's tumas meis, and if there were to be truma, we'd ultimately burn truma. And I will say, understand, you only burn truma when? You only burn truma when? When there's a vadai truma. Otherwise, what do you do with the truma? Tolin, right? You just suspend. You don't do anything with it. You only burn it when we are absolutely positively sure that there's tumas. You see, already we've taken a rove and we made the rove into a badai. Rabbi Shimon happens to disagree. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nimo Kavlat Achelo Yatza. Rabbi Shimon says, no. We would not look at this as a case of definitive tumah because Rabbi Shimon says it's just as possible that what? Maybe the vlad disintegrated inside the mother. And by the time that the shilya came out, the vlad is no longer in existence. The vlad ultimately just became like dam, in which case what? It would not convey tumas meis. Look at Rashi just a moment. Nimo kavlad, v'na'a said dam. Maybe the vlad disintegrated inside of the mother, just became dam. Then it's arid b'dam halida, and it's just considered to be part of the dam halida. Ubatl berov. And ultimately, brother, so the Gemara is just recording over here, there is a descending opinion. Rabbi Shimon holds that just because you find the shilya, right, just because ultimately, again, you find the placenta, does not automatically mean that there's tumas meis in the home, does not automatically mean that people contract tumas meis, does not automatically mean that we burn truma, because there was a baby, that maybe the fetus disintegrated inside of the mother, became dam, exited as dam, and got mixed up with dam leida. Good. So the Gemara says, so therefore again, so that's case number two. So case number two is Shalya. So what are we doing in case of Shalya? Rov Nashim, when they miscarry a Shalya, there's a Vlad there as well. We make that Rov like a Vadai. So if a person is in a home and the Shalya is there, what's their status? Tomei Tumas Meis. Right? You have contracted Tumas Meis from being underneath the same roof as the fetus. Right? There's Truma there. We would burn the Truma. The Rov is made into a Vadai. Case number three. Chaticha, Olim. This nan, Hamapeles Yad Chatucha, Beregel Chatucha, Imo Tmei Aleda. Oh, this is an interesting case. If a woman miscarries, a hand, meaning what she aborts, what ultimately comes out is a hand. Yad Chatucha means just a hand, or Regel Chatucha, just a foot. Imo Tmei Aleda. Ultimately, again, the mother is Tmei Aleda. Supposed to say, interesting enough over here, in this case, she's miscarrying a fully formed limb, but not the rest of the baby. Not the rest of the baby. Supposed to say, so the halacha is, we assume that where there is a fully formed limb, therefore also there was a fetus, and therefore halacha lamaisa, the mother is Tmei Tumas Aleda. Look at Rashi. Imo Tmei Aleda. Viteshev, so of course, leaving aside over here, what is her Tumas Leda for a boy, for a girl? Obviously, that's what we're not going to know because all that's coming out now is a limb. So Rashi points out over here again, we'll see this Sogachi later on. V'teishev chomer zachar limei tovar, v'chomer nikeva limei tumas. What's essentially what we do is we give her the chumras of both a zachar and nikeva for her days of tovar and her days of tuma. V'mechaskim ala b'leida v'adois. Litein lo yimei tumah v'yimei tara. De aminon halach acharov v'rov nashim vlad ma'al yoyadan yaldan elashinimuk. So we'll say, this is actually quite interesting, right? That the rov bizmana gimara is that the majority of women give birth to a vlad ma'alya, give birth to a healthy baby, which is an interesting rov considering what? Right, considering infant mortality rates and everything else. But remember, you're going to both say, so Tumas Leda does not require a living birth. What Tumas Leda requires is what? Is what? A fully formed baby, or not even fully formed, but formed enough that it is a recognizable human form. So the idea of Yerabosai is that where the mother miscarries, but all she expels ultimately is a limb, what essentially we're saying is that limb came from what? A fully formed baby. Where's the rest of the fetus? The rest of the fetus must have disintegrated in utero. But Lamaisa, again, there was a fully formed fetus, and therefore the expelling of this limb is enough of a Leda to give her Tumas Leda. So the Gemara says, "In Choshishin Shema Miguf Atum Bas." And we don't assume that Halacha Lamaisa, there was never really a fully formed fetus, and this limb just somehow formed with the rest of the fetus, but the rest of the fetus really never took completed form. Look at Rashi. Vin Choshishin Shlomar Lo Yehu Lo Yemei Tor Shema Eino Vlad. The Dilma Guf Atum. Rabbi says, so Guf Atum literally means like from a stunted fetus. We don't assume that somehow this hand grew or this foot grew, but the fetus itself was never properly formed. The Kaim Olama Apeles Deino Vlad Deino Kivadim. So let's say therefore again, this is Rove number three. So Rove number three ultimately again. Rove number three is that when a woman goes ahead and miscarries a fully formed limb, we assume that fully formed limb came from a fully formed fetus because rove nashim give birth to a fully formed fetus. So therefore, halacha lamaisa again, she is tamei tumas leda. Good. So as I said, these are the three cases, ultimately again, where the rove is made like a vadai. Again, what are the three cases? Number one, makar, which tells me that what? That halacha lamaisa, rove of the damim, rome of the blood, found in the pruzdar, is what Rabbi say? Is dam nida, and therefore we make that rove like a vadai. Therefore, whenever a woman finds dam in the pruzdar, parentheses, unless attributed, possibly attributed to another source, is going to be dam nida. Case number two, Shalya. Wherever you fight, you find a Shalya in the house. We'll say, we assume that what? Wherever there's a Shalya, there's what? There's a fetus. I know what happened to it. It disintegrated now, but it was there. Therefore, again, halach lamais, we make that Shalya like a Vadai. That's a Vadai fetus. Therefore, tell me to my face, we had burned Truma. And case number three is a woman who miscarries a limb. a limb. Halacha ma'is, we assume that where there's a limb, there's a fully formed fetus, because rov nashim who give birth to a fully formed fetus, and therefore halacha la'maisa, she is tamei tumas leida. Good. Three cases, Rabbi said, where we made rov like a vadai. To which the Gemara says, v'su leka. Tell me, there's one of the cases? There's no other case where we make a rov like a vada. That's not true. What's that? The most famous case, v'ha'ika, teisha chanuyos. Rabbi said, there's the case of the nine stores. What's the case of the nine stores? Desanya, teisha chanuyos kulan mochras basar shchuta, v'achas mocheres basar nevela, v'lakach me'achas men ve'eni odem me'ezion lakas. Well, listen to this. There are nine stores that sell kosher meat. One store that sells non-kosher meat. Here's what I know. I know that I went into a store and I bought meat. What don't I know? Which store I went into. So I say, what's the halacha over here? Sveiko aser. So I say, the halacha is that ultimately the safek is aser. Then I will say, what does it mean the safek is aser? Rashi says, now I will say, this is for a different reason. This goes into the concept of kol kavua kemechza al mechza damya. That whenever the suffix is generated by something that is set in place, there's another halacha la Moshe Misina that says that we treat that not as a row, but as a 50-50 case. I don't care about that case. What I care about is the next case. Ubenimtsa halach achar harov. So we'll say, what's the halacha? If you find a piece of meat on the street, in a city, where there are nine kosher butchers, one non-kosher butcher, you are permitted to eat that meat. Why? Why? Because the assumption is, not the assumption, the rov tells us that Allah says, where did that meat come from? One of the nine kosher stores. So we'll see, here is there's a case of rov, they make the rov like a vadai, to which the Gemara says, you're right, tuma kaminan, isra lo kaminan. The truth is, when we made the statement, Rabbi Yochanan made the statement that in three places, the rov becomes a vadai, Rabbi Yochanan is referring to cases of tuma, not cases of isser. This is a case of Isser, not a case of Tuma. Okay, so I'll give you a case of Tuma. Va'ika, teishat svardin v'sheretz echad b'neim. Suppose, listen to this. Let's say you have nine frogs and one sheretz. So Rabbi said, so remember again, frogs are not shratzim. Halachalam, meaning the Torah does not categorize them as shratzim. Therefore, they do not convey Tumas sheretz. So what's the case over here? You have nine frogs and one sheretz. So we'll say, so what happens? V'naga be'echel mehen, v'ina de'vezen naga. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? I touched one of them, and I don't know which one I touched. So we'll say, so by the way, the easiest way to frame this case is, a frog is, bless you, a frog is not a sheretz, but what? A toad is a sheretz. So we'll say, so again, I'm assuming most of us can't understand frogs and toads, right? So lemaisa again. That's the easy. So the point is, you have nine frogs, and which are not shratzim, and another shratz which is mixed in, which looks very similar to halacha maaser, to the other shratzim, to the non shratzim. So I touched one of them, and I don't know which one I touched. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So naga birshus hayochid sveiko tami. So we'll say, if halacha lemaisa, I went ahead and this occurred in Rishus HaYochid, ultimately against Sveiko Tamei. Birshus HaRabim, Sveiko Tar. If it occurred in Rishus HaRabim, the Safek Tar, I will say. Now that's just a general din of Safek Tuma. Right? We learned this from Sota. Right? Safek Tuma Birshus HaYochid, Sveiko Tamei. Safek Tuma Birshus HaRabim, Sveiko Tahar. Ubenimsa. But I will say, but remember, this is what we're focusing on. Benimtsa, let's say again, I find one of these animals, one of the mixture, and I touched it, halach achar harov. Ultimately, you're after the rov. So we'll say, what does that mean? So if I have a group of nine frogs, one sheretz, they all get mixed up together. So again, safek, what happens if I just find one of them on the street and I touch it? So we'll say, what's the halacha? Rashi says, v'nimtza, shepirish echman l'makum achar, v'naga ba'adam sham tar, d'hashlo kavua, v'amrino kol d'parshin r'apash. So we'll say, what do you see from here? If you ended up touching one of them, what's the halacha? You're tar. Why? Because you go after the rove. So we'll say, here's another case of rove, and it's dealing with what? It's dealing with tumah. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan include this in the category? Rabbi Yochanan said, there are three cases where we take a rov and make it like a vadai. Here's another case of where you take a rov, you make it like a vadai. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tuma de isha kaminan, tuma ba'alma lo kaminan. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan was dafka talking about what? Cases of tuma by an isha. By an isha, ultimately again, there are three cases of tumas isha where we make the rov like a vadai. Are there other cases of Tumah like you make the role like Avada? Sure, but not by Tumas Isha. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'ha'ikaha, Adonar Yosha ben Levi. There's another case. We'll say by Isha. What's the case? Fascinating case. Avra Banar. We'll say, let's say a woman is crossing a river on the days. V'he'pila. So we'll say, as she's crossing the river, she miscarries while she's in the river. And what happens? So we'll say, now in this case over here, the river, the current takes away the miscarriage. So I say, now what's the problem? I don't know what she miscarried. Did she miscarry a baby? Did she miscarry what's called a ruach? Right? So we'll say ruach means what? Ruach just means in general, just like anything that's not called a viable of a fetus is called a ruach. So I say, ve'pila mevia carbon. So I say she goes there, ve'pila mevia carbon. Ultimately, again, she brings ve'pila. So what's her halacha? Mevia carbon v'ne'achal. So we'll say, amazingly enough, she will bring a carbon. We'll say, what carbon? Carbon leda. She'll bring a carbon leda v'ne'achal. And ultimately, again, it is consumed. Look at Rashi v'ne'achal. Chatas ha'of shela ne'achalas. Ve'lo arminan ala safek ba ve'ina ne'achalas. Tedim alav vladu v'chulin. So listen to this, remember. So this is a fascinating case. You have a woman who's crossing the river. She knows, she, I don't know if this is the right technical term, but she expels something. She expels something. The problem is, under normal circumstances, we would look at what she expelled. Over here, the river took it away. So yet, what does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say, Bosai? So remember, who's talking over here? This is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, she brings a carbon, and the carbon is eaten. Rabbi Bosai, now there are times where we bring a carbon misafek. What happens in a carbon misafek? Generally, again, it's not consumed by Kohanim. But yet, over here, her carbon is consumed, which tells you what? That from a halachic status, we assume that what she experienced was a bona fide leda. So, v'nechal, why? Halach acharov, because we go after the rov. Berov nashim vlad ma'alya yoldan. And I will say, the majority of women, when they birth something, right? So ultimately, again, it is a bona fide birth. Lav dafka, viable birth, but a bona fide birth. So I will say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, here's a fourth case of ultimately, again, a case of tumah by a woman where we're taking the rove and the rove is treated like a vadis. So I will say, this, by the way, is a very dramatic case of this, because I will say, in this case over here, there's nothing to look at. Right? Remember, it's gone. It's gone. There's nothing to examine. You know, I understand the case of Shalya, in the case of the atherosclerotic placenta, you have a placenta here. So, okay, you could say, where there's a placenta, there's a birth. Where's the baby? The baby disintegrated into the placenta. But Lamaisa, again, is saying here. Here, in this case, there's nothing to look at. Yet, Lamaisa, what we're saying is, Rove Nashim, who give birth to a Vlad Ma'alya. So, therefore, we assume that there was a bona fide birth, and therefore, Halach Lamaisa, she's tummy tumas leida. She brings a carbon and her carbon is consumed. So what? So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan bring in this case? To which the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Mas nisin kaminan. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi said was only included cases that are listed in the Mishnah. Shmaisisa lo kaminan. We don't bring in Amoraic statements. So Rabbi says, listen to this. Now apparently we're discerning customers over here, right? So, right, Rabbi Yochanan is only talking about cases that are listed in the Mishnah. Rabbi said, this is a statement by who? Who was it a statement by? By Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Shmaisa says, individual statements that Rabbi Yochanan is not reckoning in his tally of cases. Look at Rashi. Shmaisa says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amorahu. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is an Amora. Ushloshim comes from Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Obraisa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, when he says there are three cases where you treat the rov like a vadai, he's only including cases that are listed in a Mishnah or an Abraisa, but in what we call a Shmaisa, right, or a Shmaisisa, which is an Amoraic statement, that Rabbi Yochanan is not including. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'ha ki asa ravin amar, masiv Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina, toeh, v'lo yedana mighty yufte. So what's it? Listen to this. So yet, but we learn when Ravin came along, he quoted a question, right? Master Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Toa, below Yedana Matyuf. Then look at Rashi just a moment. Maaser Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Ad Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Masnisin Chada Demayri Beisha Toa, Shelo Yada Emasa Yalda, Bahasim Katanila, Vika'ama Ravin, Lo Yedana Matyufta Rabbi Yosi, Delaf Tiyuftahui, Bahasim Mefarish Taima. So let's listen to this. But yet ultimately again, this statement Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was brought up in a different context. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina brought up a question of Toa. Rabbi Yossi, we're going to see what this case is. But there's a situation of a woman, Toa, Shelo Yalda Imasa Yalda, a woman who gave birth and she does not know when the birth occurred. Velo Yadina Mait Yufta, and I don't know what the answer is to this case. So the Gemara says, My love, Tiyufta. So my love, Lo Tiyufta, Elisiaita. Are we not seeing over here that halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah was not a refutation, but ultimately again was a siyata, was a support, ultimately to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, in which case Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's position is bolstered, ultimately again by a braisa. Lo dilma lo tiyufta v'lo siyata. Rather what it's saying is we're not sure if the braisa was a support or was a refutation of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Okay, so we'll say, so what we thought over here is maybe I thought that I actually had a braisa that supported the position of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, but it turns out that I actually don't know the interface between Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi and the braisa, so therefore I can about say, therefore Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's case is not included in Rabbi Yochanan's tally. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan only states cases that are explicitly stated in the Mishnah or a braisa. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is an Amoraic statement and therefore not included. Fine. Shabbos say Twitch the Gemara says, Lumi Ute Mai. Shabbos say, now remember, every time the Gemara goes ahead and lists a number of cases, so the listing comes to include, but what else does the listing come to do? Comes to exclude. So when Rabbi Yochanan says that there are three cases where we treat a rov like a vadai, what that is also saying is what? There are other cases where the rov is not treated like a vadai. The rov is not treated like a vadai. So what are those cases? I love these gemaras, right? These are always fascinating because I will say what you're going to see over here is rov in general is a fascinating concept. Now we're going to get into the riveting discussion. I feel bad for the chevra who's not here today. I will say, by the way, this is one of, generally we don't make people feel bad about things that they missed. This is one of, you could absolutely make people feel bad about, and you should make people feel bad, because I will say sometimes you miss incredible things. People have to be vigilant about their opportunities. So I'll say, you have permission to text your friends about this, because they're terribly bad. So I'll say, so listen to this. We're going to get now to the fascinating interplay between rov and chazaka. So I'll say, remember again, chazaka meaning presumption. Chazaka is established how? Chazaka established how? So I'll say, so chazaka could either be established by frequency, or chazaka could just be established by an established pattern of behavior. Lav dafka, the event occurs three times, but this is the way it occurs, right? Frequency means it occurred three times, or two times, machlokes in chazaka, or ultimately again, or halacha lemaisa, just this is the way it's always been. Versus rov, which means I have more of this than that. Or, again, rov times, this occurs like this and not like that. So we'll say, watch this. Now here's what we know. Rabbi Yochanan tells me, keep this in mind, Rabbi Yochanan tells me that halacha lemaisa, there are three times where rov is treated like a vadai. The truth is, for our purposes, we actually saw, and remember, we're narrowing the focus. What is Rabbi Yochanan referring to? What is he referring to? Tumas Isha, which means I will say there are other times where rov is treated like a vadai. Rabbi Yochanan, specifically three times with a Tumas Isha. There might even be a fourth, but it's not a Mishnah or a Braisa. It's Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe it's an Amoraic statement. Now says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, when you say three times, that's including the three you mentioned, right? Mekar, Chaticha, Shalya. But Lamai said, what are you excluding from that? So watch this. This is incredible. Lemiute mai. Ile ma lemiute rubadika chazaka bade. Delo sarfinan aleas atchuma. So we'll say maybe he's coming to exclude the following case of a situation of a rove that is, I don't know if the word is contradicted, but a rove that is, we'll call it contradicted by a chazaka. Right? What happens when you have a rove that is contradicted by a chazaka? So the Gemara says, so the mutimai, ilema lemi ute ruba diika chazaka bade. So we'll say, ika chazaka bade means, look at Rashi, right, Rabbi, if telling me that it's come to include a case of a rov that has an opposing chazaka. Demarale chazaka l'ruba. Because when you have a rov and there's a chazaka that contradicts that rov, the rov is eroded. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan is saying like this. Rov counts as a vaday when there's nothing that opposes the rov. So we'll say, by the way, you'll say to yourself, there's always something that opposes the rov. What always opposes the rov? The miyot. So Rabbi Yochanan, remember, that's the novelty here. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that there are three cases where we don't look at the miyot. The rov is so strong that it kind of, it eclipses the miyot. But if there is a chazaka which contradicts the rov, that will erode the power of the rov. So if you want, maybe that's the case that he's excluding. Rabbi Dika chazaka ba'adei. Telo safin alayi satruma. But Rabbi Yochanan already said that. Rabbi said, listen to this. This is an interesting case. Rabbi said, so that, Rabbi Yochanan already said that once. What's the case? Here we go. This time. Incredible. Tino kanimtza besada isa. Kids get into everything. So now watch this. It's the days before baby locks. So the Gemara says, you have a baby who is sitting by the isa, right? Who is sitting by the dough. So now what's the shayla? The shayla is, what is the status of the dough? So watch this. So the Gemara says, ubiyado batik. Now, both say, the baby's not just sitting not sitting by the dough, but what happens? He has a piece of dough in his hand. So Rabbi Meir Matar, the Chacham Matamin. Rabbi Meir says, the dough is tahar, and the Chacham say, the dough is tame. Shedarko sheltinok lifat litapeach. So both say, so ultimately, again, I understand the position of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that ultimately, again, the dough is tame. Why is the dough tame? Because Rabbi say kids poke around in everything, including garbage dumps. And in garbage dumps, there are ultimately always what? Shratzim. So we assume this baby has had contact with shratzim. Let's say parenting standards were different back then. Don't judge. Right? So kids are playing with shratzim. So what happens? Because the baby is playing with shratzim, now the baby touches the dough is tame. That's the shita chum. So Shabbos say, it's another way of saying what? It's another way of saying what? You have no idea what your kids' hands are in. Right? So because of that, if you see a baby sitting by the dough, Shabbos say, now it's not just sitting by the dough. Remember again, what do we know? The baby touched the dough. So essentially you have no choice but to treat that dough as tame. So that's to the chum, makes perfect sense. The mitzvahs. What's Rabbi Meir? Shita, say, my time to Rabbi Meir. Here we go. We'll say, this is, by the way, incredible halachic maneuvering. Watch this. You have to appreciate this. It's like fine wine. You have to swish it around the palate a little bit. My time to Rabbi Meir. Kasavar. Here we go. Rov tinokos metapchim. So again, the Rabbi Meir will give the chum. The majority of babies play around with shratzim. They will say, now remember again, that's a rov. Because does every baby play with shratzim? No. There's a rov. The rov of baby play with shratzim. Okay, now watch this. Umiyut, ain't no metapchim. But there's a miyut of babies that what? Don't play with shratzim. Now watch this. V'isa zu b'cheskas tahora omedes. So I will say now, remember the dough. Here what's in the Rabbi does like a split screen. We've got the baby, we've got the dough. When it comes to the baby, rov babies what? Play with shratzim. Miyut, do not. On the other side, dough. What's the chazaka of the dough? Cheskes tara. Here we go. Get ready. Samuch mi'uta lechazaka ve'israle ruba. Therefore, we'll say, when I look at this dough, what do I have? I have the chazaka of the dough. I have the chazaka of the dough that it's tar. I have the miut of babies. That what? Don't play with shratzim. Take the chazaka of the dough, the miut of babies that don't play with shratzim, and undermine or erode the power of the rove of babies who do play with shratzim. And incredible, right? It's incredible. So when you take the chazak of the Isa together with the miut of babies, you have the ability to what? To undermine the effectiveness of that rove and to say that lemais again what? The Isa will still be tahar. Absolutely incredible. The Rabbanan are like, yeah, whatever, right? The Rabbanan say, Umi Uta Kimandalesidam. So Rabbanan says, goes back to what we said before. The Rabbanan say, Rabbi Meir, you're using a miut in a way that it shouldn't be used. Whenever you have a rove, what does rove say? The miut is non-existent. That's what rove does. What rove does, Rabbanan say, once you establish rove, Rov then consumes the miut and says that the miut doesn't exist. Veruba vechazaka, ruba adath. Rabbi say what the Chachamim will agree with is that halacha lemaisa, in this case, what you do have is a conflict between the rov of the babies and what? The chazaka of the dough. Right, because everyone agrees the dough is a cheskes tara, but ruba vechazak, whenever you have a conflict between rov and chazaka, ultimately again rov always wins. So we'll say, so this is a fascinating machlokes, right? The fascinating machlokes over here regarding between Rabbi Meir. Oh, was Rabbi Meir? I'm sorry. Yeah, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and the Rabbanon. Right, so also the Chachamim saying you have a rov, right? Rov tinokos, go ahead and play in garbage dumps. Ultimately, again, the Rabban Rav say, now we see, according to the Chachamim, pretty much once you have that rov consumes the miut no longer exists. So in the Chachamim's model, I do have a conflict. What's my conflict between? Rov babies play with shratzim and what? Cheskas tara of the dough. What happens when you have a conflict between rov and chazaka? They're both say, by the way, that's also, we're going to speak more about this. What else do you have when you have a conflict between rov and chazaka? At least the Rabbanan say, rov wins. Therefore, the Isa is tameh. Rabbi Meir says, no. Rabbi Meir says, no. The miut does not cease to exist. The miut is still there. Therefore, what can you do? Take the miut of babies who don't play with shratzim. Combine that with the chazaka of the Isa. The miut and chazaka together are strong enough to what? Overpower the rov. And then Rabbi Meir says that the dough is tahar. Shabbos says, so again, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Oshia says this would be the type of chazaka, ultimately again, that we would burn chumah. So before we get to this, so therefore again, what the Gemara suggested is, remember, what are we trying to do? We're trying to figure out, Rabbi Yochanan made a statement. What was Rabbi Yochanan's statement? That halacha lemaisa, there are three cases in which rov is like a vadai. Whenever you see a statement like that, that means you're coming to exclude something. What are we coming to exclude? Maybe we're coming to exclude a case of where you have a conflict between a rov and a chazaka. Right? That where there's a rov and a chazaka, the chazaka ultimately again, when the Havamina was, when there's a rov and a chazaka, so ultimately again, the chazaka will undermine the rov, which is Rabbi Meir Shita. The chazaka together with the miut undermines the rov. The Rabbanan say, no, when you have a conflict between a rov and a chazaka, rov goes ahead and overrides it. So both say, the point over the Gemara is saying, is that if you want to say that it's this case, Rabbi Yochanan already mentioned this case beforehand. So both say, they're just continuing this. So Vamar Rish Lakish said, Mishra Rabbi Yoshia, Zoi chazaka, Shesarfin aleha esat shuma. This is the type of chazaka through which we would burn shuma. What does it mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zoi chazaka, chazaka zu, shanu machzikin stam rov tinokos metapchin, chazaka gimura hechzikua, la sosa kivadis. So we'll say now what we're doing is the lashon over here becomes a little bit blurred. So Reish Lakish says, this type of chazaka, Rabbi says, now he doesn't really mean chazaka. What does he mean? Rov. Really what he says over here is, this is the type of rov. This type of rov, which does not take into account the miut, which is the position of the chachamim, creates the level of certainty through which we would even burn truma. So let's remember again, in the Rabbanon's model, if the dough we're talking about is truma, talking about truma dough. So what happens, according to the Rabbanon, when the baby is standing, sitting next to the dough, holding a piece of dough in his hand, what do I do with that dough? I burn it. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because what we have over here is the type of rov that consumes the miut, which becomes like a vadai. It becomes so strong that it even swallows up the cheskas tara of the dough itself. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ein zu chazaka shesarfan aleis atshuma." So Rabbi Yochanan says, "No, this is not the type of chazaka through which we burn shuma. Why not?" So the Gemara says, "So let's remember again, Rabbi Yochanan would be of the opinion that what, whenever you have a chazaka that contradicts the rov, then that rov does not create a vadai." So we'll say, remember again, in Rabbi Yochanan's model, he holds that in this case, because although there is a rov babies go ahead and play with shratzim, and that rov swallows up the miut of babies who don't, but what do you have on the other side of the equation? A cheskas tara of the isa. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that halacha lemaisa, in that case you have a conflict of a rov and a chazaka, the rov does not create a vaday circumstance. So remember again, just keep this in mind. So remember again, Rabbi Yochanan said before, just so you follow the train of thought over here, Rabbi Yochanan said before that what? There are three cases where what? Where what? Rov becomes a vaday. We're trying now to figure out what are you coming to exclude. So if you're coming to exclude the case of where the rov is contradicted by the chazaka, that's not a vaday. Rabbi Yochanan said that explicitly. That's Rabbi Yochanan saying that explicitly over here, right? He's saying it explicitly, that here you have a case of a rov and a chazaka butting heads. There's a rov of babies that play with shratzim. So Rabbi Yochanan, which says that what? What does that rov say? Babies are tameh. Babies are tameh. Rabbi Yochanan, that's not like an anti-child statement, right? Right? Babies are tameh is a halachic statement. Babies are tameh, the miut disappears. But yet Rabbi Yochanan says, when you have a conflict between the rov and the chazaka, the cheskas tara of Isa, we would not declare the Isa definitively tamei. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan said that the baby touched the Isa and it was truma, we would not burn the truma. So Rabbi Yochanan says that case explicitly. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so what case is Rabbi Yochanan coming to exclude? To which the Gemara says, Ella lemeute rubad Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, must be coming to exclude, Rabbi Yochanan, the rov case of Rabbi Yehuda. What's this case? This is actually quite interesting. Rabbi Yochanan, we're actually going to see this case in just a few days on Daf Chaf Aleph. So the Gemara says as follows: Hamapelas chaticha. So we'll say, what happens if a woman just she expels chaticha? Chaticha means a piece of some type of fleshy substance. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Rashi says chaticha below tsura. So we'll say, so this is just a piece of flesh, but there's absolutely no tsuras havlad. There's no human form to this. So we'll say, so the shaila is, is this a birth with tumas leda, or is it just the expelling of some type of flesh? So the Gemara says, im yesh ima dam tmeya. So I'll say, if ultimately again, if there's blood that accompanies the chaticha, then she's going to be tmeya. Look at Rashi, im yesh ba dam tmeya, ha'isha tmeya, kishar nida, v'lo mishum leda. So I'll say, let's be clear. If there's blood that comes out along with the chaticha, she's tamei tumas nida. Why not tumas leida? Why not tumas leida? Because we don't know if that this is a baby. All we know is this is a piece of flesh. So if it's just a piece of flesh that comes out, so again, if there's blood that accompanies it, she's going to be tamei tumas nida. Ve'im laf Torah. Rabbi said, technically speaking, halacha l'maisa, if the piece of flesh comes out and all it is just a piece of flesh, so there's nothing, and there's no dam, she's Torah. Rabbi Huda says no. Ben kach u'ben kach tmeya. We'll say Rabbi Huda says whether or not there's blood or not, if the piece of flesh comes out, she is tmeya. But Rabbi Sivan Rabbi Huda Meshmuel. But when is that so? Lo timi Rabbi Huda ella bechaticha sha'arba minei damim. So Rabbi says we're going to say that it's only true halacha lemaisa if the chaticha is the same color as one of the four colors of blood that is tamei. So we're going to see that there are four shades, there are four colors which are considered to be blood. Other colors ultimately again are not dam, not blood, they're rather there's some other kind of secretion. So we'll say, so watch this. When does Rabbi Huda say that if this piece of flesh comes out even without dam, that she's tamei? That's when the flesh itself is one of the four problematic colors. Ava, so Gemara says, "Ela bechaticha she'arba minei damim." Look at Rashi. She'arba she'chaticha me'arba maros dam tamei ashrim masnisin. Va'af agav dechamisha tenan shachar adamu ela shalaka. Right, shachar adamu ela shalaka. Dechevad demara dam yeshba arminan kula damu utmeya nida. V'rabbanan savri ein zed dam ela basa. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda says like this: if the piece of flesh itself is like one of the problematic colors, then I will say, what do we assume this piece of flesh is? A congealed piece of blood. That's what we assume that it is. So even though, again, there's no liquid blood, if the piece of flesh is one of the problematic colors, then Allah HaLamayisa, we assume that it's just congealed dam. But I will say, ultimately, again, if it's one of the other non-problematic colors, then halacha l'maaseh Rashi's could go in yarok. For example, it's green or it's yellow. So I will say, so ultimately, again, this will not be a problem. And again, so I will say, so here's what we have. So we have, again, ultimately, the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, telling us that if a woman expels a piece of flesh, if there's blood along with it, then what? She's tamei what? Tumas nida. Right? If there's no blood and it's just a piece of flesh, she's fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if there's no blood, if the piece of flesh is one of the problematic colors, then we assume it's congealed blood, and therefore she's Tameya. But if it's not one of the problematic colors, then she's totally Tohora. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shal arba minei damim divrei akol Tameya. Rabbi Yochanan says, if the piece of flesh is one of the four problematic colors, everyone will agree that she's Tameya. Vishal shar damim divrei akol Tohora. And I will say, if it's just a piece of flesh and it's one of the non-problematic colors, everyone agrees that what? No. That she's Tohora. So what's the machlokes? Lo nechluku, here we go. Ela kishihipila, top of your test. Ve'ena yoda'as mahipila. Now we'll say, what's the problematic case? Where she expelled something, but what? She does not know what she expelled. Now we'll say, what's the metzias here? Look at top Rashi, test on the Aleph. Sha'avda chaticha, kodun shabalifaneinu. We'll say, what's the case? She expelled a piece of flesh, and what? It was lost. It was lost. The river case, it doesn't matter how it was lost. We can't examine it. So I'll say, so again, Rabbi Yochanan is coming along and saying something amazing. Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, if she expels this piece of flesh, even if there's no accompanying blood, but what? Halacha lemaisa is one of the problematic colors. We look at it as congealed blood, and she is tameh tumas nida. If the piece of flesh is one of the non-problematic colors, everyone agrees that what? Tahora. What's the safek case? What's the problematic case? She expelled the piece of flesh, but it's gone. We don't know what it is. So what do you do in this case? Rabbi Huda Sabra Zil Basar Rav Chatichos. V'Rav Chatichos Shal Arba Minei Damim Havyon. Rabbi Huda will say, go after the majority. And I will say, what's the majority? The majority says that, we'll say, apparently again, Rabbi Huda will say, it is not uncommon for a woman to expel a piece of congealed blood. And therefore, Allah Chalamai said, the Rav says, majority of times when she does that, it is one of the four problematic colors, 4/5, four problematic colors. And therefore, again, in this case, halacha lemaisa, where the piece of congealed flesh is not in front of us, the Rav tells us, it's Tameya. But Rabbanan Savri, zil basar Rav chatichos lo amrinan. And the Rabbanan say, we don't go after the Rav. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Lo amrinan zil basar Rav chatichos, to lo sfira le Rav chatichos shal dal minei damim. Vashin Rabbi Yochanan le'el, bikimu makamos halchul achar harov, v'sulo le'mi'ute ha'rubad Rabbi Huda. Therefore, we'll say, the Gemara suggests that when Rabbi Yochanan said on Amud Aleph, that what? There are three cases where the Rav is like a vadai. What is it coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude this case. That Rabbi Yochanan holds, says that we hold like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Huda, namely that in a case where a woman expels a congealed piece of something, right, and it's lost and it's not in front of us, whereas Rabbi Huda says we go after the Rov. The Rov says that it's one of the problematic colors. She's Tameya, Tumas, Nida. The Rabbanan say no, we don't go after Rov. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with the Rabbanan in this case. That in this case we don't say after Rov, and therefore with a piece of flesh, right, is not in front of us, halach l'maisa, we will not declare her Tameya. Rabbi Yochanan therefore says there are only three cases by Tumas Isha where we say that halach l'maisa, the Rov is like a Vadai. Those cases are the cases of the Makar, which tells us that Dam that is found in the Pruzdar, Dam that is found in the vaginal canal, the Rov tells us that it is Nida Dam, Nida blood, and therefore she is Tameya. Next case, Rov tells us wherever there's a placenta, there's what? There's a baby, therefore there's Tumas Meis, as well as Tumas Leida. And number three, where she expels a limb, that means it came from a Vlad that was formed, and therefore she will be Tamei Tumas Leida as well. Those are the only three cases where we make the Rov like a Vada by Tumas Isha, but in this case over here, where she expels the piece of flesh, it's washed down river. She no longer has it. We do not say Rov Chatichos are problematic, are from a problematic color. Rather, we paskin that the Rov does not apply in this case. That's the case that Rabbi Yochanan means to exclude. Tomorrow.